ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः रघुपति राघव राजाराम पतित पावन सीताराम रघुपति राघव राजाराम पतित पावन सीताराम केशव माधव राजाराम केशव माधव राजाराम पतित पावन सीताराम पतित पावन सीताराम राम राम जय राजा राम 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 जय सीताराम राम राम जय राजा राम 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 जय सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम जय जय राम सीताराम जय जय राम सीताराम राम सीताराम
So last class, I told you the significance of beginning the study with a peace invocation called Shanti Patha or Shanti Mantra. As I said, we have many Shanti Mantras, and this particular Shanti Patha, which I'm going to teach you now, is from Krishna Yajurveda. Is Krishna Yajurveda Shanti Pataha. Even though generally when we do the Shanti Patha, we pray for physical well-being, emotional well-being, and we pray for the removal of obstacles, etc. Here, this Shanti Mantra is a unique one. We seek Bhagavan's grace, especially for the obstruction-free, obstacle-free study. Mainly for study, this particular Shanti Patha. Once the Purushartha Nischeha is there, this term, every time, I don't get tired at all to repeat it, because so important in teaching and studying Vedanta. This term, now the Purushartha Nischeha, is very important. Why? Because Purushartha Nischeha is being doubtlessly clear about our end being moksha. Being clear about the very purpose of living this human life is to discover the happiness which is already there. And this discovery of happiness is in fact freedom from unhappiness and limitations, which is a choiceless end. When you say choiceless end, one has to accomplish it somehow or the other, in one life or the other. If you miss in this life, at least next life. If you miss the next life, no, this journey will continue endlessly until and unless we discover it. This search will be a continuous search. And this is a fact. If I fail to discover that happiness in this life, and this life is not an end, this is death is not an end of life, this is a fact. Death is not an end of life. Life is a beginningless, endless cycle. Therefore, this birth and death is only incidental things which happen, you know. Therefore, it's not an end of, this is not going to end my life. Death is only, you know, a temporary break from where I continue my life. Therefore, the search will be a endless, you know, search. Continuous search. And this is another fact. Therefore, if this search has to come to an end, then this has to be discovered. Therefore, I say, this discovery of happiness is actually freedom from limitations and unhappiness, which is a choiceless end. And this is very clear. And this discovery of happiness itself is what? Discovery is knowledge. Therefore, the knowledge is moksha. Therefore, knowledge becomes the end. What knowledge is the end means, and we know the value of this knowledge of the self. The discovery of happiness as the nature of the reality, and that reality as one's own self, if it is the ultimate end, you know, and for which I need the pramanam, I need to, you know, I have, Bhagavan has blessed me with the intellect. As a human being, I told you many times, nobody's intellect is inferior. Nobody's intellect is incapable of accomplishing this. Any human intellect can achieve anything, can discover any amount of subtle facts. It is capable of penetrating, piercing, penetrating, and then discover, finding it. Only thing is, the intellect has to be channelized properly. And for here also, I'm blessed with the intellect, but it needs to have the aid of the Shastra Pramanam. See, your eyes are the Pramanam. You know, your eyes, only through your eyes, you can understand how microbes are, what, you know, any minutest beings are. You can discover, you have to use your eyes. But when your eyes are not adequate, you have the added support. Now you have the aid of microscope. So without your eyes, if you are born blind, what can you do with your microscope? Microscope will be useless without your eyes. But your eyes themselves are inadequate to see much subtler being. Similarly, something which is far from you, without your eyes, the binocular will be useless. Telescopes will be useless. So use the telescope as an added support, an extra aid which needs to go with your own seeing power capacity. So without the telescope, your eyes are inadequate. Therefore, always you need extra aid to see certain things much subtler, or things, you know, which eyes cannot themselves see. Similarly, your intellect has the capacity to discover much subtler facts within the realm of matter. That is why E is equal to MC squared, much quantum all jump, all much subtler facts which scientists could discover. You know, till such is going on, they talk all sorts of mind-boggling, much subtler facts now are discussed and already have been discovered or still being discovered, still under discussion now, which is amazing achievement in the scientific field, which are all subtler facts. Not even proton, electron we talk about, do we see them through physical eyes? The molecules are jumping means, do we see, a physicist can see, we cannot see. Which means all such much subtler facts, the human intellect is capable of discovering, you know. So this human intellect by itself can be crushed and exercised. It can discover any amount of subtler facts, imperceptible facts it can discover, arrive at. But, no, but within the realm of matter it can do. But the intellect has to go beyond its own matter. It has to discover something, its own truth. Not an object of knowledge, but the very truth of the intellect. Because of which the intellect functions. Because of which the intellect has the very existence. Because of which the intellect is capable of operating. Without which intellect itself will be non-existent. And that in truth of the intellect, to discover that a human intellect is incapable, it needs extra aid. Without the intellect, Shastram will be useless. Like without your eyes, microscope or telescope will be useless. But your eyes without them will be inadequate. Similarly, without your fantastic human intellect, Shastram will be no use. But with the very intellect itself is not enough to discover the subtlest abstract reality. You need extra pramanam, extra means of knowledge, aid, it is a curse. That is what is Shastra Pramanam. And if that Shastra Pramanam has to be operated, has to work for you, has to be effective for you, you need to do a systematic study, you know, of the Shravanam. You have to involve all those three steps involved in the study of the Shastram: Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Shravanam itself, if you have obstacles, what can you achieve? Shravanam has to happen without obstacles. Then Mananam has to happen without any obstacles. You know, until you accomplish Nididhyasanam, Aham Brahma Asmi, that jnanam, until it dawns, isn't it? Not an experience. It becomes clear to you, becomes ascertained in you. You know, you need an obstacle, you need to be free from obstacles for which, you know, we are thinking much ahead of everything. And we need, now, once you know the value of the Shastram as a Pramanam, and you know the value of the study, and if you know the value of this knowledge, and of course you know how precious this wisdom is, how precious this Shastram is. Once you know the preciousness of the study and Shastram, and you will know how it must be obstacle free. So therefore this prayer is for a serious student who does not want any obstacles in his pursuit. You know, because there's no greater wisdom than the discovery of one's own self, truth of one's own self. Therefore, this Shanti Pataha, especially for the obstacle-free pursuit of knowledge and obstacle-free study. So I'm going to teach you this today, so you all can chant after me. Then I'll explain to you every word clearly. Om.
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 Saha.
Saha.
Saha,
saha,
saha na vavatu,
saha na vavatu,
saha na vavatu,
saha
na vavatu, na vavatu, na vavatu. Na vavatu,
na vavatu,
saha na vavatu,
saha na vavatu,
saha,
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 nau,
nau,
saha, nau,
saha, nau,
bhunaktu. Saha nau bhunaktu,
saha nau bhunaktu,
saha,
saha,
saha viryam,
saha viryam,
saha viryam,
saha viryam,
karavavahai,
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 saha viryam 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 karavavahai,
tej Tejasvi Nava.
Tejasvi Nava.
Tejasvi Nava.
Tejasvi Nava.
Tejasvi Nava Dhita.
Tejasvi Nava Dhita.
Tejasvi Nava Dhita.
Tejasvi Nava Dhita.
Tejasvi Nava Dhita Mastu.
Tejasvi Nava Dhita Mastu.
Tejasvi Nava Dhita Mastu.
Tejasvi Nava Dhita Mastu.
Ma.
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 Ma. Vidvishavahai.
Ma.
Vidvishavahai. Ma. Vidvishavahai.
Ma.
Vidvishavahai. Vishavahai.
Vishavahai.
Ma vidvishavahai.
Ma
vidvishavahai. Om.
Om.
Shanti shanti shantihi.
Shanti shanti shantihi.
Om shanti shanti shantihi.
Om shanti shanti shantihi.
Any mantra, if you find it difficult to recite a chant, please feel free. I will not compel you to chant. But I really expect you to understand the meaning of it. If you want to chant, I can give you extra classes. And then I don't mind giving more time to help you learn the correct chanting also. So the mantra, any mantra always begins with Om. Because Om is a monosyllabic sound, a monosyllabic expression, which is a sound symbol of the Lord, the Whole. Invoking the Lord in a sound means Om. Means the Lord, the Whole. We understand this explanation of Omkara, Om, elaborately in an Upanishad called the Mandukya Upanishad. But here I'll give you the simple meaning. Om consists of three sounds, two vowels and one consonant sound. A, U, M. A, U, M. Om. So, A vowel should take only one unit of time. U vowel should take another unit of time. M should take another unit of time. Therefore, A plus U, because of euphonic combination root, it becomes O. A plus U becomes O. Therefore, the English transliteration of A-U is wrong transliteration. O is the correct transliteration. I'm telling you. Om. Okay. So Om consists of three sounds and is Om. Akaraha stands for the waking universe, waking state experience. Ukaraha stands for dream experience. Makaraha stands for deep sleep state experience. And the silence which follows Makaraha represents Atma, the witness of the three objects of experience. Therefore, Om consists of four parts, three sound parts. One silence part. Am I elaborating on this? And therefore we say Om. Or you can say Akara stands for the waking universe. Ukara stands for dream universe. Makara stands for unmanifest universe. And the reality, which is the substratum, which lends existence to this threefold universe manifestations, is represented by the silence. Therefore, Om is a sound symbol of the Lord. We have many meanings. We can elaborately discuss on that, but I am not going into the details. Because it is a sound symbol of the Lord, the whole, it is auspicious utterance. It is very auspicious to begin any mantra with Om. Therefore, Om, we never prolong. When you chant Omkara, we should not prolong Omkara, because it consists of only three sounds, only 3 units of time alone we should take to pronounce it. Om, Om, like that. Then, Sahana Bhavatu. There, first you come the word you come across, Saha. Then you have now. Then you have the word avatu. Avatu is an imperative verb, which means may protect. Avatu means may protect. Who should protect? Who should be protected? So we say, may the Lord protect. May the Lord protect. Whom? Us. Now. Now. Not English now. Sanskrit now. Now means both. As both. Because every student in the class says this. Therefore, me and the teacher. For all of us, when you chant, every student makes his prayer. Therefore, now means us, me and the teacher. May the teacher and the taught. May the Lord protect us, the teacher, as well as the student. Me and the teacher. No. How? Not separately. Together. Saha means together. May the Lord protect us, both of us, the teacher and the taught, together. This is the meaning of the first sentence. Sahanavavatu. You separate it. Sahanau avatu. Saha. Say now
saha.
Nau. Avatu.
Avatu.
But when you chant it together, Sahanavavatu. Because of euphonic combination, now plus avatu becomes navavatu, navavatu. Isn't it? Then, so may the Lord protect both of us, the teacher and the taught, together. One meaning. And here itself, if we take that saha, we separate it. Sa means that person. Saha means that person. Ha, indeed, definitely. Now, both of us protect. It's another meaning. May the Lord protect both of us together. One meaning. May that figure saha, na, saha, sa, saha, ha, now, avatu means that if you separate sa and ha, what is the meaning? Saha means that person, which means that saha is a third person singular pronoun. That person. So saha now avatu. So saha means that person. Saha, that person, or he, is a pronoun. That pronoun, pronoun stands for whom? What? Always, in any language, the pronoun can be used always using another name. Some name has to be used first. Then you can refer to that person. Then you can use a pronoun. Is it? A pronoun. Never can the pronoun be used without having a noun, name. David has come to the class. He is sitting there. Then when, if I simply I say he, who? You'll ask. Similarly, always a pronoun should be used after a noun. But here this mantra, the prayer, the very first sentence begins with the pronoun without, giving any contextual reference. How, who? Therefore, in Shankara, in one place, in Gita Bhashyam, mentions, see this pronoun in Sanskrit language, it's called Sarvanama. Suppose whenever, without any contextual reference, if there is a pronoun and that pronoun stands for Bhagavan, the Lord. Okay, it's all Upanishadic explanations. I not give you for the beginners, but I tell you. Therefore, sa, if you separate the saha, even though it means what? Saha, ha, may the Lord definitely, indeed, protect both of us, the teacher and the taught. This is one meaning. Or, may the Lord, you can take as implied meaning, may the Lord protect both of us together. Which means both of us need protection. Only then learning can take place, teaching can take place. Without the student, there cannot be teaching. Without the teacher also, teaching cannot happen. Therefore, the teaching is so important. Therefore, both of us must be protected. Understand? The next, Saha Nau Bhunaktu.
Saha Nau Bhunaktu.
So, Bhunaktu also means protect. Bhunaktu is another word for protection. Avatu, Bhunaktu, both mean protection only. Both the words mean protection. But still, why do we use? Here there is absolute protection and there is relative protection. Saha Nau Bhunaktu. So may that Lord, Saha, Ha, definitely, Nau, both of us, Nau Bhunaktu. May the Lord protect both of us together. What is absolute protection and what is relative protection? So, Bhunaktu also means may the Lord nourish us, bless us with nourishment, which means mind becoming free from the phenomenon called fear is actually protection, mind being protected. Mind becoming free from the phenomenon called fear for good is mind being protected. Being protected is what? Protection. Therefore, what is that which helps on free oneself from the fear? So, it is the being free from fear of death, being free from fear of mortality is being free from the phenomenon called the fear. Mind, there is no such thing called fear at all in the mind. Utter fearlessness. Utter fearlessness. Why? Because, why do we say free, being free from fear of death is being free from the phenomenon called fear for good? Because fear of death is the root cause. The death is the root cause of fear. If there is no fear of death, then there will not be fear or anxiety, insecurity at all. Shastram has analyzed thoroughly any sense of insecurity and any sense of anxiety and any the fear of anything. It can be child's fear of a lizard. Child is afraid of lizard, or other person is afraid of some seeing this post on the road. My God, some thief is following me, with that fear. Or fear of losing money, fear of losing wealth, fear of losing assets, fear of losing name, reputation, fear of losing, you know, life, fear of losing friendship, fear of losing, you know, fear. All we are very insecure because the fear can be what? No. There's so many reasons which cause, no, which really is the more fear. Therefore, fear itself will not be there if the fear of death is not there. Nothing else will cause fear anymore. Nothing else can trigger fear in you anymore. Therefore, freedom from fear of death, fear of mortality, is in fact freedom from the very phenomenon called fear. And being free from the fear of death is in fact, is what? Being protected, which is protection. So how long will there be fear of death? Shastra says, unless and until you discover your own nature, your own self, being, you discover the fact that the self is immortal. Unless and until you discover the nature of the self being immortal, indestructible, immortality or indestructibility, there will be fear of death. Unless and until you discover the self being immortal, there will be fear of death. Therefore, only in knowledge, only in the wake of knowledge of the self, one can understand the self being immortal. In understanding the nature of the self being immortal, one can become free from fear of death. Thereby, one can become free from the phenomenon called fear. Therefore, knowledge is freedom from fear of death. Self-knowledge is equal to freedom from fear of death. Freedom from fear of death is equal to being protected. Being protected is equal to protection. Therefore, self-knowledge is absolute protection. There is nothing in the world will bless you with absolute protection other than knowledge. Understand? Therefore, the absolute protection is in this knowledge. This knowledge is protection. So we have to be blessed with that knowledge, for which the study has to take place, for which now there should not be any obstacles. So may that Lord, one who is manifest name of law and order, protect us together. May bless us with absolute protection. So that I'll be blessed with absolute protection. Okay? Both of us will be blessed with absolute protection. Isn't it? So first line is, that is the sense. So absolute protection is inclusive of what? Relative protection also. So next line, Bhunaktu, may that Lord nourish both of us together, or may that Lord nourish us, means Saha Nau Bhunaktu, means see, you need good physical health, physical stamina. As a weak person, you cannot study anything, achieve anything. And for which you must be mentally also healthy and strong, for which you need good food. You know, all the infrastructure required you need. So may that Lord nourish us both, means therefore all that you need to live the life properly, isn't it? You're living the life for absolute, discovering the absolute protection in the form of knowledge, that you want the Lord to bless you with that. And second thing is what? You need all that you need, all that infrastructure, all that you require for making this happen, no? Making this life successful, you want to know, comes into cat, this you need to be blessed with, which gives a relative protection. Isn't it? Physically healthy means you are relatively protected. You have good health, relatively protected. Good mind, relatively protected. You have good food, you know. Therefore, all that you need to live the life, also without having food, without having shelter, without having clothing, how can you be protected? How can you achieve what you want to achieve? Therefore, what all you need to live this life, you know, comes under what? If you are blessed with, that is relative protection. So may that Lord protect us, bless us with relative protection in terms of nourishment, etc. Nourishment mainly. Okay? Bhunaktu means nourishes, means it also means protect us. Okay. Saha viryam karavavahai. Saha viryam karavavahai. Saha viryam karavavahai. Viryam means strength. Karavavahai. So may both of us be strong. Physically strong, mentally strong. Saha viryam karavavahai. Viryam. Saha viryam karavavahai. Saha viryam karavavahai. Tejasvinavadhitamastu.
Tejasvinavadhitamastu.
Here, astu means let it be, may it be. Adhitam astu. Adhitam astu means studied, learned. You know, may that whatever is taught, you know, this line is specially for the student. May whatever is taught be understood well. Adhitam astu. May whatever is taught be learned well, understood well, ascertained well. Adhitam astu. Studied properly. Which means may whatever is taught be studied properly. Adhitam means learned. May whatever has been learned, taught, adhitamastu, may it be learned, studied well. Thereby, once the teaching is studied well, understood well, adhitamastu, then there will be what now? Once the teaching is there, the teaching understood well will bless one with the inner leisure, the clarity, no? There will be clarity in the mind. The teaching understood properly will result in inner clarity, isn't it? That once the mind, there is clarity in thinking, clarity in vision, clarity in perception, understanding. The clarity is there, when the clarity will always be expressed in one's face in the form of some brilliance, some sort of lust will be expressed. What the person of inner clarity, thereby one who enjoys that inner leisure, the confusion-free minded person, will have certain luster, brilliance expressed in his face. That luster or brilliance, which is expression of one's inner clarity and inner leisure, or inner leisure born of the clarity, and you know, because of the proper understanding of the teaching, it's called what now? Tejas. Tejas means, there's no Tejas, literally means light. Doesn't mean light here. Brilliance. Some sort of luster. The brightness of face. Which the face looks bright when, if a person has inner leisure. Inner leisure is possible when, if there is inner clarity. Clarity comes when, if the teaching is understood properly. Therefore, this understanding, the tejas born, I prefer the word of tejas, okay? The tejas born as an expression of one's inner clarity. Tejas. So Tejas we know means Adhitam Astu. Tejas we know Avadhitam Astu. We have two expressions, I tell you that also. First we say Tejas we know Adhitam Astu. So may we both have that brilliance. One meaning. Another meaning is Tejasvina Adhitam Astu. Actually the second meaning is the correct meaning. Tejasvina Adhitam Astu. Tejasvinavadhitam Astu. Second line, when you say second line, when you say Tejasvina Avadhitam Astu. Tejasvina Adhitam Astu. First you say, next you say Tejasvina Avadhitam Astu. Avadhitam also means what? Understood. Studied. May the teaching be studied, learnt well, understood well. Thereby, may I be, the student is telling only for himself. Tejasvina means, may I be the one endowed with the Tejas. The student is telling, may I be the one who is endowed with the Tejas. Which means what? If I do not understand Shastram, there cannot be inner clarity. If there is no inner clarity, there cannot be inner leisure, which cannot be expressed in of a Tejas. So very clever student. O Lord, may I be endowed with the Tejas. May I have Tejas means, no? That means may I understand the teaching properly, thereby may I have Tejas. As the one who has Tejas, as the one with the Tejas, or by me, the one who has Tejas, may this teaching be understood well. Okay? By me, the one who has Tejas, let this teaching be understood well, studied well. Tejasvina Adhitam Astu. Avadhitam Astu. Tejasvina Avadhitam Astu. Tejasvinau Adhitam Astu. Okay? May we both have the luster born of inner clarity. And then, may this teaching be understood by me properly, one meaning. Another meaning is what now? May I become Tejasvi. Tejasvi means the one who has Tejas is called Tejasvi. May Tejasvi is a Nakaranta Shabda. So Tejasvina is instrumental case there. So Tejasvina, may I be the one who has Tejas. By me, the one who has Tejas, may the teaching be understood well. Okay? That is the meaning. So, in short, may I have the right understanding, a proper understanding of the teaching, thereby may I be blessed with Tejas. This is the actual prayer.
Tejasvinavadhitamastu.
Tejasvinavadhitamastu.
Last line. Ma.
Ma.
Vidvishavahai.
Ma.
Vidvishavahai. So, vidvishavahai means, literally, it means hate. Hating each other is called vidvishavahai. Ma vidvishavahai means, may we not hate each other. It's the literal meaning. Here, a teacher who has studied Shastram, who is teaching Shastram, who lives Shastram, how can he or she have hatred towards a student? Hatred is impossible. Hate is impossible. Then what does it mean by always? The student-teacher relationship has to be well-lubricated relationship. There should not be any frictions. Okay, only in friendly atmosphere learning can take place. Teaching can happen. In unfriendly atmosphere, teaching is not possible. You know, if doubt the teacher, we don't trust the teacher, also teaching cannot take place. If we don't trust, better keep away. But you have to, you know, see whether the teaching works or not. Then here mainly, which we, here there's no such thing, no doubt, no, we don't talk about the doubt. When the student goes to a teacher, with the trust only already. So here what it is said is, there's no hatred, there's no need for the hatred on the part of the teacher or on the part of the student. Here may we not have any communication gap between us. May we not have any communication gap between us. Which means, may the teacher try to come down to the level of the student, understand the student, and try to come down to the level of the student, and try to understand and communicate. Similarly, may the student also try to understand the teacher, try to rise himself or herself to the level of the teacher and try to understand what the teacher communicates. So avoiding the communication gap between the teacher and the student is very important, for which also here the student seeks Bhagavan's grace. Therefore, Ma Vidvishavahai.
Ma vidvishavahai.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Got it now?
Sahanavavatu. Sahanavavatu. Sahanau bhunaktu.
Sah
sahanau bhunaktu.
Saha vidyam karavavahai.
Saha vidyam karavavahai.
Tejasvinavadhitamastu.
Tejasvinavadhitamastu.
Ma vidvishavahai.
Ma vidvishavahai.
Om shanti shanti shantihi.
Om shanti shanti shantihi.
There is a prayer here in this mantra. May I be the one endowed with tejas, brilliance. Which is possible only if there is clarity of vision. Therefore, this study should be effective, that it must result in clarity of vision, which will naturally be expressed in the form of brilliance. That is a prayer here. Then we say this three times Shantihi, as I told you already, to ward off the obstacles arising from three different sources: Adhyatmika Tapaha, Adi Bhautika Tapaha, then Adi Daivika Tapaha. See, Tapatrayam, no, threefold. The obstacles of threefold sources, may all of them be removed so that my pursuit of knowledge can be successful. This is the meaning of the prayer. I did not elaborate much. I have given you the simple meaning that you need to understand at this stage. Okay, there's different ways of explaining the mantras. Anyway, this is the meaning you need to know. Is it clear? Hope any doubts, you can nod your heads. Okay. And by repeated, we'll be here after every class, I'll teach you once, not many times. Once every class I'll teach you, we'll get it correctly. Till now, we have covered these topics. Purushartha Nischayaha. The importance of Shastram as a Pramanam, a means of knowledge, and this importance of studying the Shastram, the Pramanam, with the help of the competent teacher. And not only that, this study must be systematic, regular and continuous with commitment. And even if all these things are there, still, for this study to be effective, there must be genuine effort on everyone's part. Now, even to change the very lifestyle. Changing one's lifestyle means what? I mean, being committed to live a life of dharma, karma yoga. Because that lifestyle is so important. Unless we make effort to understand what is living a life of karma yoga, and thereby we try to live that life of live a life of karma yoga, if you find difficult to live that life also, if you are genuinely prayerful and worshipful, seeking grace, if we can make efforts to live a life of karma yoga, And definitely the preparedness of mind in terms of qualification required for this knowledge also we can have. We also elaborately understood, discussed the topic of Karma Yoga here. With this understanding, we have to enter into the study of our next text. Actually, when the teaching begins, you all may think how the teaching will be given. Whether it is Upanishad or any other the Vedantic manual in a text, the teaching must cover 5 different topics. How the teaching is going to be repeatedly, because why I am telling you today, next month, next year, if you happen to listen to me, next year, if you happen to listen to me, I'll be repeating the same thing. You will think, why Swamini is not changing the topic? No, the same thing repeatedly when you are listening, you will see your clarity getting enhanced. So, what are the topics we are going to cover here? Always we emphasize the first topic will be the qualifications required for self-knowledge. Why do we need to begin with this topic? Unless we know the qualifications required for knowledge, we will not know whether we are qualified for knowledge or not. By knowing whether we are qualified for knowledge or not, we are not, it is not for deciding, it's not for making a decision. Okay, I am not qualified for knowledge, therefore let me not continue my studies. Adi Shastra. It is not for making such a decision. If I understand what are all the qualifications required, then if I see, if I do not have those qualifications, if I am not qualified, that then I can make possible efforts to get myself equipped, qualified adequately, isn't it, for this knowledge. Therefore, doesn't matter whoever comes to study our Shastra is not qualified. Even if you are qualified, even if you are not qualified also is not a problem, because the person who comes to study of the Shastra is the one who knows the value of knowledge, value of the study of the Shastra. Then the person who knows the value of the study of the Shastra, who knows the value of knowledge, can definitely make possible efforts to make oneself, get oneself qualified for this, because the person needs to know the value of qualifications also. Now, the knowledge of value of qualifications is as important as the knowledge of the value of the knowledge. It is as important as the value of the moksha, knowledge of moksha. It is as important as the value of moksha itself, the ultimate end itself. Therefore, the first topic discussed is the qualifications required for knowledge. Suppose if the qualifications are not there, then the question comes, how to become qualified then? for which the main texts, the Upanishads, do not teach you, do not tell you how to become qualified. Elaborately, they teach some, Upanishads do teach the sadhanas, but Bhagavad Gita elaborately discusses the lifestyle that one has to follow, live, in order to become qualified. How to become qualified is very beautifully analyzed and discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Of course, we'll be seeing that also as part of our teaching. Already I have told you a little bit. Therefore, this is the qualifications required for the knowledge from the first topic. The second topic will be analysis of the truth of oneself, nature of the self, or analysis of the microcosmic being, individual analysis, analysis of the individual. You can see all these words, okay? Analysis, self-analysis, analysis of the truth of oneself, the nature of the self, the individual. It is the second topic. The third topic will be analysis of the macrocosmic being, or the truth of the whole total universe, or analysis of the Lord, the truth of the Lord, the whole. Third topic. So individual analysis, second topic. Analysis of the total is the third topic. The fourth topic will be analysis of the essential oneness of the individual and the total, or the microcosm and the macrocosm, or analysis of the true oneness of the truth of the individual and the total, Lord the whole. This is the fourth topic. Fifth topic will be benefit of knowledge. Benefit of the knowledge of the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. These are the five main topics discussed. When you understand the benefit, then you will know it's worth sparing your time and energy for this study. Isn't it? Because this is the natural understanding, the study of the human being tells us the human being is a utilitarian. He cannot do anything without seeing the utility. What can I gain? What can I get out of it? Don't feel bad. All of us are like that. Therefore, it's a fact, isn't it? Of course, we cannot do something without expecting a result. It is impossible for one to do anything without expecting a result. Therefore, when you study the Shastram also, you need to know why I am studying Vedanta. Am I doing it because it is an intellectual exercise for me, or some academic pleasure, academic pursuit? Vedanta study should not be mistaken as an academic pursuit. It is not for intellectual pleasure. It is not even for, you know, sharing with others, I'm studying philosophy, you know. It is not even for, you know, some sort of emotional leaning. It is for discovering the freedom from emotional dependence, not to get entangled emotionally. Big difference. Wherever we go and wherever we enjoy little warmth and care, some good food and good talk and good people, we get hooked there. See, being friendly is different from getting stuck emotionally, is it? So that is, emotionally getting entangled is a very natural thing. Maintaining relationships, being friendly, being good to people, being helpful to people, you know, is all very important as a human. Explore humane nature. But getting entangled, without that I cannot survive, because my smoke will come out of my head. Because so much of inner pressure, people get develop inside. I have to do that. Do this. You know. Such things. Therefore, emotional entanglement. So, Vedanta study is not for, you know, getting emotional entanglement, but to discover the freedom from emotional dependence. Understand now? Therefore, and which is the absolute freedom. Therefore, we'll come back and see next class. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.